Hello and welcome to the Camping Crew Podcast with Chris and Aaron.
Hi everybody, welcome to episode 152 of the Camping Crew Podcast. I'm Aaron Birchall.
And I'm Chris Byrne.
As always, it's meant to be a fun podcast. We're just enthusiasts and what we discuss on the podcast are just our own personal views, although we do look into things that you ask us to look into.
If you'd like to support the podcast, and if you can afford to, you can buy us a coffee at ko-fi.com/thecampingcrew. Totally optional, but if you want to support us, you can. I want to say a big thank you to Pat and Gráinne from Clare Morris Air, County Mayo. They sent on a message saying, keep up the good work. Thanks for that, guys.
Pat and Gráinne are the former owners of My Heimer Motorhome. And when myself and Charlie were up in Mayo doing a trilogy, we actually stopped at their air. And that video is coming up in about 5 weeks from this coming Friday. So Pat and Gráinne, thank you for that great setup they have there, Chris. You'd really love it.
Looking forward to getting up that side of the country. It's one area I haven't travelled very much.
Now, we kick off with news, and this is good news, although we did cover it last year, and I think it's been amended. Second holiday park project proposed for Ballymahon, that's in the Longford area. The Westmeath Independent, you have a story on that.
Yeah, they posted an article on the 11th of May, so I suppose this day last week. They said the Ballymahon area could become home to its second holiday park should newly lodged plans for 99 mobile homes and camping facilities on the grounds of the historic Newcastle House progress. A planning application has been lodged seeking approval from Longford County Council to construct another holiday park a short distance away from the existing Centre Park's Forest Village in Newcastle Wood. This was first mooted last summer, as you said, Aaron, on a much larger scale, and this particular proposal concerns a smaller project in Phase 1. So have a read of that. That's on the westmeadindependent.ie, and it's dated the 11th of May, and the title is Second Holiday Park Proposed for Ballymahon Area, and we are supportive. Anyone who wants to open up extra camping facilities for us, and particularly inland as well, you know, it's somewhere I think we should venture a bit more.
Yeah, definitely. Well, as I said, myself and Charlie did a trilogy Mayo. We stayed inland and we did a couple of camps. We went to Baleek, to Mayo itself, and then to Pat and Gráinne's place in Clare Morris on the way home. And we are going to look at more, even Ayres. So listeners, if you know an Ayr, maybe a farmer's field or maybe an official Ayr that somebody's trying to get off the ground, please do get in touch with myself and Charlie or Chris. At the end of the podcast, we'll give you the contact details. And myself and Charlie would gladly hop into Beebaw and bring some cameras and review that for the people in question. But that's a good story to hear.
And you came across, speaking of stories, a story on one of the Facebook groups, Aaron, with an interesting idea.
I think this is a brilliant idea. It came in from Denise Carr. She posted on a Facebook group, on a few of the groups, and she says, I'm organising a singles, child and dog friendly camping night at Roach's Campsite in Wexford on the 2nd of July. You just book in with Roach's for further details. We've seen a few Facebook stories of single ladies of all ages traveling on their own, seeking to meet other single ladies so they'd feel a little bit safer, especially when it comes to wild camping. I think that's a great idea for singles with or without children and dog friendly for a bit of a meetup. It's a great idea. And Roach's, as we know, we'll be talking about it in a while, is a great spot for something like that.
Yeah, we had a couple of conversations earlier on the podcast about that as well. And I think this is the right time of year for those type of events as well, before the madness of July and August kick in. You know, we can see a number of meetups, including our own kind of last month, but this one, you know, in June, and then a few more being organised kind of September onwards as well. So we wish the best of luck there to Denise with that and anybody else. You might let us know, drop us an email, let us know how it went if you're down there.
Yeah, we might even get a chance to have a chat with Denise. I'll look into it during the week, and maybe we can push it for again on a future podcast between now and July, just to refresh people. But as she said, it's the 2nd of July. It's a singles, child and dog friendly camping night at Roach's in Wexford on the 2nd of July, and contact Roach's for further details on that. And the best of luck, Denise. And if any of you do attend, please do let us know how you get on.
Yeah, we got a few listener messages in as well this week as well. And the first one, we wanted to say a big hello to Evan and Hannah And of course, Alan and Sarah too, they sent us a nice message and request for stickers. Hi, Charlie, Aaron and Chris. They say, love the podcast and the YouTube channel. We've been camping for the last 20 odd years with my wife, Sarah, and the kids who are now a bit older, Evan and Hannah. Is there any chance a few stickers for the van? Looking forward to maybe meeting both of you sometime over the summer. Happy camping. And that's from Alan. Yeah. Alan, Sarah, Evan and Hannah. So those stickers will be out in the post, I would say, tomorrow. So you should have them hopefully before the end of the week.
And like that, if you do see us inside, please do call over and say hi. John was on with a question. He says, hi, Aaron, Charlie and Chris. I hope you'll be able to help myself and the missus. The line of fabric at the rear of our van has sagged badly. The sponge backing has perished. We've tried to re-glue it, but it didn't really work. We have tried everywhere and everybody we can think of to help us. So would you or any of your gang or your listeners be able to help us find out where we can replace it, try and source a liner or a special glue if needed? In brackets, it says maybe Gary's glue is the right type. Here's hoping. Many thanks in advance for all of your help. And that comes in from John. I mentioned it over the weekend to one or two of our technical guys because the camping crew met up and I showed them the photographs. John did actually send me photographs and it's like the headboard liner. You know, the way our motorhomes have a spongy roof and then it curves down and then it becomes this beautiful cloth liner and then the headboard is clipped or glued or stuck to the front.
Yeah,
of
I think the fabric bonds onto the material, the sponge material, doesn't
there's
it?
There's a very, very thin, probably 2 mil of sponge between the fabric and the wall just to give it a little bit of sponginess. Well, that sponge, as he says, has perished. Now, I did say, and I spoke to a few people, and they were saying, if you can't get it replaced, so you can't get the sponge, you're just going to have to put glue on, and it'll always look, I don't know, it'll look like there's an indent in it. So if anybody out there, I should have asked John whereabouts is he, but I think he'll travel to an upholsterer. If there's anybody out there knows who can replace that, let's say the back wall with the little sponge and the cloth, please do get in touch.
Yeah, I was chatting with Con there. He recently had a similar job done on his overhead cab in his last camper. You know, some of those cabs in the overhead, they're kind of sponge to stop you from banging your head off them, and it's material. And his material had come away from the sponge as well. And I asked him who done his for him, and he said he got a local upholsterer to sort it out for him. And he said they did a very good job as well. So, you know, I would say check out, see who's in your locality who does this professionally in terms of chairs and repairs and all that kind of stuff. And it might be something they can do for you, you know.
Especially when it comes to sourcing that very, very thin foam that goes, the sponge that goes behind it. But look, if any of you guys can help John out, please do. Again, we'll give you the contact details. Get in touch with us and we can WhatsApp or email or get in touch with him during the week. And then he can let us know how he got on.
We got a message from Helen there on Campsite Review, Aaron. Do you want to?
Yeah, Helen was on. She says, hello, guys. I'm going to France in June and we have a motorhome and we're intending to buy a sat-nav, but we're looking for advice. Is it going to be the TomTom or the Garmin camper versions? They're a little bit pricey and both have conflicting reviews. We need your help. Many thanks in advance from Helen. By the way, you're doing a great service to the camping community. Thanks for that, Helen. I got back onto Helen. I had a TomTom in France when myself and Deirdre start going first. And it was nearly the cause of divorce, even on our honeymoon. So the rule we have now is if we use a sat nav, which we don't have anymore. So the rule for this year in July, I'll bring it up on Google Maps on the phone, but on silent. And Deirdre loves the paper maps. She will have the region open on the paper maps. We've bought some great maps for France and we've been using them for years. I did say this back to Helen. She did get back to say, yeah, I'm fond of the paper maps myself, but she just heard so much about these camper versions of the TomTom and the Garmin. I've only heard negative reviews, so I'm bowing out of this one and saying Google Maps on your phone tallied up with somebody reading a paper map. I think, in my opinion, that's the best way.
Yeah, I think you're going to be kind of restricted there, but with your data plan, depending on what your roaming is, unless you have some of the Google Map areas downloaded prior to traveling. You know, the problem with Google as well is sometimes it'll take you down back streets and
and you get that's the beautiful thing about those sat navs, because you put in your height, your length, and they tend not to. But what I've heard is, yeah, they'll steer you away from low bridges and skinny roads, but you may not get your destination the most direct route. So again, I never thought of the data plan actually that you'll be using up data.
And that's my biggest pet peeve with any sat nav, and that goes for Google or Waze or Garmin or TomTom, is none of them seem to give you an option. And I had a sat nav years ago, I think it was called something Go or something like that, but they don't give you an easy option. Most of them say this way and that way. But what I'd like to see in a sat nav is something that gives you an easy option. You know, I know they have eco options and the most direct route, but something that that keeps you on the main roads, the national roads, the motorways, the R roads. Like Google and Waze and them forever are taking me down L roads here in Ireland.
Time.
And you don't want to be going down an L road in a big motorhome. You want to stay on the R roads, the national roads and motorways. You know, so sat-nav should give you an option, at least one of the settings, to take me on the easiest way basically the widest roads, the best roads, you know?
Yeah. I do notice when Google Maps tells me, take the next right, I go, no, I don't think so, because it's an L, and I go, because it'll redirecting, take the next right, and eventually it will keep you on the N road as best it can, and then put
But it kind of defeats the purpose then, doesn't it? Like, you want to be able to just follow, you want to trust it and be able to follow it blindly, not blindly, but you want to be able to follow and trust it, that you don't have to be sitting down planning your route before you go, like, that defeats the whole purpose.
Or as you're driving, So, as I said, we're sticking this year, we're heading off in July, and we're sticking with Google Maps on silent. And if I reckon, Deirdre, what do you think? She's great at reading up on the map and say, no, stick on this road and we'll take the next one. And that will be a much better route.
You know what I see a lot of people doing, actually, in some of the YouTube videos, the channels I follow, a lot of them now have iPad minis or iPads set up on their dash as their sat navs as well, with that big, massive
bigger screen.
I think it's a great idea as well. But finding the right sat nav is definitely, I don't think there's a perfect solution out there, but if anybody has any suggestions on what they use going into France, we'd love to hear about it.
And you mentioned about your roaming. Check before you go that your data is okay, because you could come back to a hefty bill.
Yeah, the ideal solution when you're going across different countries is to have a solution that lets you download the maps and you can use them offline. And that way you don't have to be worrying about your data then.
But if anybody can help Helen, maybe you've had great success with the TomTom or the Garmin camper versions, please do get in touch. Again, contact details at the end of the podcast.
We moved to our campsite section and we managed to get out for a camp together last weekend, Aaron, which doesn't happen very often so far this year anyway.
No, we headed down to the...
As you keep reminding me every week.
Yeah, I'm sorry. We headed down to the aforementioned Roaches. It was a revisit for myself and Charlie. We have a trilogy coming up where we did Wexford, Wicklow and then Wexford. So we ended up in Roaches on Saturday night. Some of the camping crew were there and Chris and the missus came down with the dogs and the weather was fantastic, wasn't it? It was a fantastic evening.
No rain at all. We sat out for most of the night with just coats. We didn't even have to light up any of the heaters or anything. And, you know, Roaches is a lovely campsite, like a spectacular location there in Banno Bay, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the Banno Bay estuary. Now, when we were there a year ago, it was Roaches Working Farm. So the video, which won't come up for about 5 or 6 weeks, is actually now Roaches Campsite. They take caravans, motorhomes, camper vans, tents, they take everything. And I got to be honest, it was one of the better weekends I've had in a long time because the weather was right. There's live entertainment on a Saturday night. There's a new coffee dock there and soon to be a fish and chip van. They've got it there. They've got it cleared by the HSE. They're doing a course on cooking of the food. And I think that's going to be a major benefit to a family run campsite.
Yeah, they had a lot of upgrades. Like if you were to watch the video now, which I did before I went down, and looking at now, there's been a lot of upgrades. So I think that second video, when you put it up, will show a lot of upgrades in that. And I think for us to stay there was about €25. Now, we weren't plugged in, but I'm not sure if it's extra if you do plug in, or I know there's a couple of optional plug-in spaces.
Right. I think now, just off memory, again, it's, do you know what? I might even bring that video forward. I'm nearly sure motorhomes are from €25, including electric hookup. Caravans are 30, including electric hookup. Tents, depending on the size, start at €20. Electric hookup is not included in that. Showers work on an honesty box type thing. They're not metered, but because you're on the sea, they found that a lot of people are having 20 and 25 minute showers. So there's a €2 honesty box, and it seems to be working for them. As I said, then there's other facilities. Do you know what I will do? I'll stick it up as a Wednesday. Next Wednesday, I'll stick Walsh's video up, because I think it's worth a mention this early in the season. And if you go and look at the first video on Charlie and Me and then watch this one, you will see there's been major changes, and they're always making changes. And I think it's great to see it.
Yeah, what I like as well, the campsite design, there's lots of different levels for parking up. We were kind of on a middle level as well, which is great. I would say in the height of summer when it's really busy, unless you get there early or midweek, yeah, you mightn't get a flat level spot. So you want kind of a decent set of levelers with you if you are turning up late like we did.
Yes, definitely. I think levelers are an option, even if you don't turn up late, but you really needed them when you came up. But it's a great spot. And definitely check out Charlie and Me, our camping vlog on YouTube. Look at the first one. And next Wednesday, this day week as we're recording this, I'll stick the video up for Roaches to revisit in between everything else. Speaking of Charlie and Me, this Friday's video is Walsh's, another revisit. Was it Easter we were there? The camping crew were there for Easter
weekend, yeah.
It's in Blackwater in County Wexford. There's some fantastic places, Chris, popping up in County Wexford.
Yeah, what Blackwater has going for it from my visit is it's right next to the village. Like we spoke about Roaches earlier, there isn't really anything around Roaches. So when you're going to Roaches, you tend to go there for the duration of your stay. And maybe if you've got your car, you could travel around. But when we go there, we like to just stay and hang out and chill out on a campsite. Yeah. You know, it's ideal for that. But yeah, looking forward to seeing the video on Walsh's now. We had another great weekend there.
That's this Friday, youtube.com/ Charlie and Me camping vlog, 9 a.m. We go live and we can chat with you as well. It's Walsh's Motorhome Park in Blackwater in County Wexford. It's a revisit from Easter just gone. And that is this Friday. I'm looking forward to that. And as I say, next Wednesday, I will throw up the one of Roaches also in Wexford.
Great. So we'll finish out the podcast now with a troubleshooting section. We said we'd kind of throw in some troubleshooting as we kind of go along. Now, this one isn't so much us giving a solution, but more asking for the listeners to help out with a solution for one of our other listeners. So Gary sent in a message asking for advice on how to repair a shower tray. He says, "Hello, Aaron and Chris. I love the podcast. I was wondering, could you please give me some advice if you can? We bought a 2003 Mercedes camper, having a ball so far. However, at the weekend when my wife was cleaning the drain in the shower, she literally just looked at it and the drain plug hole disintegrated. Luckily, we have two drains. It's near impossible to get a replacement shower tray due to the shape of the shower." He said it's a Cartago conversion. Would we be able to seal the hole with a plastic patch and a Tech 7 sealant? I would appreciate your help. Regards, Gary." Now, I asked Gary to send me on some photographs. Mm-hmm. So if anyone is following our Instagram or Twitter, you can have a look at the damage to the drain hole in Gary's shower. And you can see it's quite a significant break. The hole.
Yeah, it's not a crack.
It's just come completely. It's not a crack. Yeah. Literally, the plug hole has come loose, but around the plastic. I would say you've got a couple of options there in terms of putting something over it and sealing it, or fiberglass, something like that. But, you know, I did get a couple of suggestions, Aaron, but before I read them, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, when I saw the photographs, I didn't realize it was badly damaged as it was. I was going to suggest trying to get a piece of you could fill the hole with paper and do a fiberglass repair on it. If you're good at that kind of thing, it's a big job to replace that tray. It's not going to be an easy job. Did somebody get in touch with you that kind of knew what they were talking about?
Yeah, we got a couple of messages. There's a chap that follows on Twitter called the RV Tech, and he said that would require a whole new shower pan. A person would need to take out the shower door, shower wall, and then the pan. It could be about a 4 to 5 hour job. Yeah. You might also want to consider more support around that area as well when you are replacing the pan. So on a tank, RV Tech there. Paddy also suggested Tech 7 sealant, as the listener mentioned. He said that should do the trick. Now, he says, "I haven't tried it, but he suggests that might do it, you know." But, you know, I would say for me, absolutely, it would be a job for a professional. I wouldn't go at it at all. If you want it done cleanly. And
you go at it yourself. It
if you're not fussy, you could have a go at it, you know?
Yeah, and it may still leak. I mean, Tech 7, even Gary's Glue do a clear sealant. They're great products, but they may still leak if you do it yourself. So, Gary, I think you're going to ring around. And then the only thing is, all the professionals are so busy. So maybe, look, have a bash at it yourself. Get a heat gun. Get some plastic from somewhere and try and mold it. I think you should really try and go up the corner of the shower tray as well, up the wall. and glue it, just lash on loads of, be it the Gary's glue or the Tech 7 sealant, lash on loads of it. It'll look ugly, but it's only a shower. And he's lucky that he has the other drain in the shower.
Yeah, and consider that support as well, because if it's a shower, you're going to be standing in it. So all your weight is going to be on it and kind of moving around as well. So you want to make sure your other drain is letting the water run free for you as well. But, you know, it'll need to be pretty solid, number one, for leaks, but also to take the weight. It sounds like the plastic kind of, it gets brittle after so long, doesn't it?
Yeah, over time. So, Gary, we hope we can help you out. Again, if any of you have had this problem, check out the Instagram, check out the Camping Crew Twitter account, because we put photographs up there earlier on today and you might be able to help us out.
Here's a suggestion. I just... thinking out loud here now, like, what about, say, a panel beater? A lot of car bumpers and stuff are plastic these days as well.
Plastic and
maybe
fiberglass.
A normal garage or a panel beater or someone who does that might be able to come up with a solution and maybe make a second tray that sits on top of that or something, you know.
Even not that much, even just somebody that's good at fiberglass and fill the hole because he has the other drain, and as you say, pack underneath it first beforehand. Cut it out altogether and put in a piece. I think somebody who's good with fiberglass, yes, a panel beater should be able to do that, because a lot of them now are dealing with, as you say, plastic or fiberglass. A boat repairer, somebody who works on boats, 100% would be able to fix that. I think if you're not going to replace it, get a professional to repair it. And I think you're right to go down that route, either a panel beater or somebody who's good with fiberglass that repairs boats, kayaks, canoes.
Now, the listeners might know somebody professionally has done something like that for them. I haven't had a chance to go look on YouTube. I'm sure there's lots of different videos up on YouTube as well, which might offer suggestions. I'll do some of that as well. But look, we'd love some suggestions. We want to help Gary out. We want to make this as painless as possible for Gary. So please, we'd love your suggestions, either in reply to us on Twitter, Instagram, or to our email address, which we're just about to give out.
Yeah, and don't forget, not just on this, anything we discuss, or if there's something you want us to discuss on the podcast, please get in touch. We have stickers as well, which are free. We need your name, your address, and your air code.
And just one more shout out, actually, before we close out. We're looking to plan a number of interviews over the next couple of months. We haven't had one for a while now. So if there's anybody you think would be interesting, the listeners would like to hear, whether it's a camper, somebody in the camping trade professionally, or whatever, anybody that might be interesting to our listeners, we'd love your suggestions. You can either publicly, or you can suggest someone to us privately. But if you think there's anybody interesting, please get in touch and let us know.
So to get in touch, Chris, they need contact details. What are they?
So our web address is thecampingcrew.ie. Our email address is campingcrewpodcast@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at The Camping Crew. Instagram, we're at The Camping Crew Podcast. On Facebook, you'll find us in all the good motorhome and camping groups. Forum-wise, we're on motorhomecrack.com or boards.ie.
And of course, we have campsitereview.com. We have a forum there. It's free and it always will be. You can, again, just go in there and read the topics and give us campsite reviews, product reviews, anything at all. And then every Friday, we have Charlie and Me. Go to youtube.com/Charlie and Me, our camping vlog, and there's campsite reviews up there every Friday, and some Wednesdays, including next Wednesday, when I put the one up from Walters from last weekend. That is it. Episode 152, done and dusted. Remember, if you see us on site, please do, like a lot of you do, call over and say hi. You're not intruding in any way whatsoever. And remember, we also carry some of our pens and stickers on board as well, and we gladly furnish you with them. From me, Aaron Birchall, till we meet you again, or until next week's podcast, stay safe.
And it's a goodbye from me, Chris. And if you're enjoying the podcast, don't forget to subscribe. And most importantly, tell your camping friends all about us.
Well, that's it for another podcast from The Camping Crew. Thanks for listening, and do join us again very soon. Safe camping.